The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
It seems that in the last couple of weeks, no matter where you look in the ASEAN region, the specter of COVID-19 cases and the resurgence of infection continues to hamper many of the region's major economies. We have seen that Singapore in the last 24 hours has decided to reimpose at least some of these phase 2 heightened alert restrictions that did cast a cloud on business confidence and the outlook for GDP here. There is a case, though, to be made that perhaps one of the most affected economies in the region could be that of Indonesia, the region's most populous country. This after it's reported that Indonesia overtook India as arguably the COVID-19 epicenter across the globe. But there are signs, at least according to Indonesian President Joko Widodo, that the country's COVID-19 cases are starting to fall and that if the trend continues, the current restrictions could be gradually lifted from July 26. However, enough has been done already to cast enough economic uncertainty on the largest economy in the region. Today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined by OCBC's economist Welian Wiranto, who tracks the Indonesian economy for the country's second largest bank. And Welian Wiranto is on the phone with us to talk about how the recent events have impacted his outlook for the Indonesian economy. Mr. Wiranto, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you're in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show.
Thanks, JP, for having us on board, as always.
Great to have you, of course, Mr. Wiranto. And as we mentioned a while ago, it has been reported that Indonesia has overtaken India now and being called the COVID-19 epicenter. Now, you've taken some time to compare and contrast the two countries in terms of the rate of infection spread. What are some of the key things you've actually detected when you've compared the experiences of these two major and populous countries in Asia?
So I think I'll just compare Indonesia and India to get a sense of how the pandemic will play out in Indonesia in the coming weeks. I think we've used basically India's massive bout in April and May as a rough guide. If we do follow that trajectory blindly, and we shouldn't, Indonesia will continue to see further uptick in daily cases. I think if you, again, follow India's case blindly, it might go up to all the way to 70,000 a day throughout the rest of July. It's obviously not a piece of good news. And in recent days, indeed, I've seen some downtick in the daily cases that basically tell us that, hey, maybe Indonesia's current bout might not turn out to be as bad as India's was back in April and May. And as you mentioned, President Jokowi has used that as one of the reasons behind extension, yes, but only a fairly short extension of the what we call PPKM, Darurat, basically the emergency restriction measures that we have in Java and Bali and also some parts of Indonesia.
Right. You know, Mr. Wiranto, when this happened also, despite the sight of Indonesia making what some might call an earnest effort to try and facilitate its vaccination programs, and this saw officials trying to race against the clock to perhaps partially reopen parts of the economy. There were hopes that Indonesia could reopen the island of Bali, at least to tourism, by July. Of course, those hopes were dashed because of that recent resurgence. With the renewed lockdown measures, though, and despite the fact that the Indonesian president might try to gradually lift some of these restrictions by July 26 onwards, how bad of an impact might this have already on the largest economy in the region?
Well, this is probably the worst lockdown that we have had since the start of the pandemic. Even though we had some measures before, it is really predicated on sort of localized on the regency level or the township level versus sort of, you know, more stringent measures applied basically in the most populous islands in Indonesia, Java and Bali. So that's number one. I think that hit will be felt. We're still working out the numbers. We do not know, apart from gauging some of the mobility indices that we are tracking, which have slumped quite a bit. I think that would basically tell us that the kind of economic growth recovery that we have been seeing, in fact, in May and April, unfortunately, that momentum is unlikely to last through to June and July. We have had growth forecast downgrade before from 4.6 to 4.1%. And if the situation does not improve in a week or two, I think we're unfortunately going to have to shave it down a bit more. I think back on the media side, they've already downgraded the forecast to 3.8%, which basically tells us that, you know, there's basically quite a bit of downside risk still to be had, unfortunately.
All right, we'll still be to Mr. Wellian Waranto, economist for OCBC here and across the ASEAN. We're talking about the outlook for the Indonesian economy as they also go through their own harrowing resurgence of COVID-19 cases. You know, these recent pronouncements by Indonesian President Joko Widodo about gradually lifting restrictions from July 26, you know, it does raise a question about whether there is a hard decision to prioritize the reopening of the Indonesian economy over the overall state of the public health in that country. Do you think, Mr. Waranto, that Indonesia might be caught in a proverbial rock and a hard place, or between the proverbial rock and a hard place? Because on one hand, if you reopen the economy, public hospitals could get overwhelmed and cause risks. If you close things up, a lot of people who live hand-to-mouth in Indonesia could undergo yet another round of brutal lockdown, similar to what's going on across the region. What are your thoughts on that? And is this such a zero-sum question that Indonesian officials will actually have to answer?
There's really no hard and fast rule, unfortunately, when it comes to how to deal with this. I think when all along since the beginning of the pandemic, we always had to treat this consideration as a lives versus livelihoods question. And unfortunately, that continues to be true. I think, as you correctly mentioned, if we do see more rapid reopening, on one hand, that's good for the economy. On the other hand, obviously, that might well turn out to be a bad choice in terms of how virus might spread. Fundamentally, I think ultimately for any economy, including Indonesia's economy, to get out of this on and off cycle of pandemic and lockdowns and whatnot, ramping up vaccination remains a key. I think unfortunately on this front, even though Indonesia did have a relatively early start with the vaccination drive, it has not quite kept up with the pace. And so far, we've only seen about 6.5% of the population to be fully vaccinated. And there's also the big elephant in the room issue of dependence on Sinovac, which, you know, has some with some people are questioning the vaccine efficacy rate of that particular choice. So unfortunately, that is the primary vaccine that Indonesia still does have and still will use.
All right, and fingers crossed that better days might be ahead with regards to Indonesia as they try to combat their own pesky resurgence of the COVID-19 pandemic there. Well, Wellian Waranto, economist for OCBC, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to talk about your revised outlook on the Indonesian economy. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued safety and good health during these unusual times. And we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show.
Thank you, JP, and all the best to you and the listeners.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.